Thought we might read from Matthew chapter 8 together this morning. I was thinking about the Lord Jesus and his ministry during his time here on the earth, and even still today, this name, the name of this man, is very controversial. Many around the world worship him, many around the world curse him. But we'll have a look at him this morning. We'll read Matthew chapter 8, and we'll start in verse 16. Now, Jesus has just finished this Sermon on the Mount in 6 and 5, 6 and 7, and he's come down, and he's cleansed the leper, he's healed the centurion's servant and Peter's mother-in-law. And the word has gotten out about him. It says in verse 16 of Matthew 8, when evening had come, they brought to him many who were demon-possessed. And he cast out spirits with a word and healed all who were sick, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet Isaiah, saying, "He himself took our infirmities and bore our sicknesses." And when Jesus saw the multitudes about him, he gave command to depart to the other side. It's the other side of the Sea of Galilee. Then a certain scribe came and said to him, "Teacher, I will follow you wherever you go." And Jesus said to him, "Foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head." Then another of his disciples said to him, "Lord, let me first go and bury my father." But Jesus said to him, "Follow me and let their dead bury their own dead." We'll pause there for a minute, just a few thoughts here. It's very curious to me, in verse 18, it says, when Jesus saw the great multitudes about him, he gave command to depart to the other side. He saw the great multitudes. He's been teaching. He's been healing. He has an audience. Great multitudes are coming to see him. They want to see this one that they had heard about, this great healer and this great teacher. And he sees the crowd and he leaves. Isn't that strange? He leaves. Why did he leave? Well, it's a question I don't have a concrete answer to, but I would suggest that perhaps many who were coming were only coming for the benefits. Maybe the followers that were following him were insincere. They enjoyed the benefits of his ministry, but they really didn't have much time for him. You remember as well when he fed the 5,000 in John chapter 6. He fed 5,000 men plus women and children. And afterward he departed, and the crowds followed him the next day. And they said, "Don't you want to perform another miracle? We're hungry again. We're hungry again. Don't you want to give us a new miracle?" You know, Moses gave the children of Israel bread from heaven. And the Lord told them, "Work not for the food which fills your belly." I wonder if that's why he left, if it was because those coming to him were insincere. Some folks still come to the Lord Jesus this way today, don't they? We want him to heal our Aunt Ruth, or cure our cancer, or fix our car. But a living, breathing, walking relationship with him, well, that sounds like a lot of work, and we're very busy, and I'm not sure I really have time to sit down, to read his word, to speak with him in prayer. We're all very busy, have other things to do, don't we? Yeah, today there are still insincere followers who want the benefits. But remember those very fearful words that the Lord Jesus said, "Not all who say to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven." It says he will say, "Depart from me, I never knew you." Yeah, you were there, you showed up Sunday morning, you're in your pew, but I don't know you. I don't know who you are. Let me ask you this morning. Do you know the Lord Jesus? Do you have a walking, living, breathing relationship with Him? Or do you just come for the benefits? Verse 23. Now when he got into the boat, his disciples followed him. These were the ones that were really committed. They're going to follow him. And suddenly a great tempest arose on the sea, so the boat was covered with the waves. But he was asleep. The disciples came to him and awoke him, saying, Lord, save us, we're perishing. But when he said to them, why are you fearful, O you little faith? Then he arose, he rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. So the men marveled, saying, who can this be, that even the winds and the sea obey him? And we notice here that these are disciples. There's the 12. There's probably other disciples as well. But the ones who are really committed, who've been following him from town to town. They got in the boat. They followed him. These were the sincere followers. And they had witnessed Jesus' miracles, his healing. They had witnessed his teaching. And they had a complete faith in him. Until the storm came. They knew that the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. They knew that they should let the dead bury their own dead. But when the storm came, they weren't so sure. They weren't so sure. I've often wondered, though, what would have happened if they hadn't awoken Jesus up? The boat was filling with water. The waves were over the boat. And he was asleep at the stern of the boat. What if they hadn't awoken him up? Well, we don't have an answer to that. The boat was sinking. What were they supposed to do? You know, Jesus didn't rebuke them for waking him up. You know, sometimes when I'm taking a nap and the kids wake me up, I might rebuke them a little bit. Jesus didn't rebuke them for waking him up. He rebuked them because they were fearful. He said in verse 26, why are you fearful, O you of little faith? They claimed to believe in the Lord Jesus, but when the storm came, where did their faith go? Now, if they were afraid of the power of the storm, they were more afraid when they saw the one who had power over the storm. It says here in verse 27, the men marveled. In Luke, it says they were afraid and marveled. And Mark says they feared exceedingly. I can't blame them. They had seen Jesus heal, command demons. But here he spoke to the wind and the sea, and it obeyed him. A whole new level of fear for these guys. And the ones who were following Jesus asked, who can this be? Who is this? Even the wind and the sea obey him. It's a good question. What do you think? Who is this man who commands the winds and the sea? You know, if the disciples had known the scriptures, they would have known the answer. Psalm 89, we read, O Lord of hosts, who is mighty like you, O Lord? Your faithfulness also surrounds you. You rule the raging of the sea. When its waves rise, you still them. The Lord told Job, where were you when I shut in the sea with its doors, when I fixed my limit for it and set bars and doors, when I said, this far you may come, but no further, and here your prowl waves must stop. Psalm 107, this is one of my favorite psalms, but it speaks about those who go down to the sea in ships, who do business on great waters. They see the works of the Lord and his wonders in the deep. For he commands and raises the stormy wind, which lifts the waves of the sea. The waves mount up to the heavens, They go down again to the depths. And these men, their soul melts because of trouble. They reel to and fro, stagger like a drunken man. They're at their wit's end. And they cry out to the Lord in their trouble. And He brings them out of their distresses. He calms the storm. The Lord calms the storm so that its waves are still. Then they are glad because they are quiet. So He guides them to their desired haven. Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men. It strikes me how much that Psalm 107, or that portion of the Psalm, seems to compare with Matthew chapter 8 here. Verse 28, when He had come to the other side, to the country of Gennesaret, or the Gadarenes, there met Him two demon-possessed men coming out of the tombs, exceedingly fierce, so that no one could pass that way. And suddenly they cried out, saying, "What have we to do with You, Jesus, You Son of God? Have You come to torment us before the time?" Now a good way off from them, there was a herd of many swine feeding pigs. So the demons begged Him, saying, "If You cast us out, permit us to go into the herd of pigs," or the herd of swine. And He said to them, "Go." And so they had come out. They went into the herd of swine, and suddenly the whole herd of swine ran violently down the steep place into the sea and perished in the water. Then those who kept them fled, and they went away into the city and told everything, including what had happened to the demon-possessed man. And behold, the whole city came to meet Jesus. And when they saw Him, they begged Him to depart from their region. Jesus comes to the other side of the Sea of Galilee. There's a demon-possessed man. We're told in other Gospels that he wore no clothes. He didn't live in a house. He lived in the tombs. He was exceedingly fierce, it says here, so that no one could pass that way. Everyone avoided this guy. He had often been bound with shackles and chains, and the chains had been pulled apart by him, and the shackles broken in pieces. Neither could anyone tame him. And always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying out and cutting himself with stones. A fierce man. And he sees Jesus coming, and he runs to Him. Luke says he worshipped Him. And the disciples, they had just got through asking, "Who is this guy? Who can this be about Jesus?" But the demons needed no introduction. Verse 29, suddenly they cried out, saying, "What have we to do with You, Jesus, You Son of God, Son of the Most High? Have You come to torment us before the time?" We read in James, it says, "You believe that there is one God, you do well. Even the demons believe and tremble." Here, the demons know who this is, and they are trembling. "Have You come to torment us before the time?" Note there that there is a time when the demons will be tormented. They knew that. They're well aware of it. When God will punish evil. When justice will be served. Jesus says later that there is an everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. This place that we often think of as the lake of fire, its preparation, its purpose was for the devil and his angels, these demons. But we also read in Revelation 20, "And anyone not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." Let me ask you today, is your name found in the book of life? Jesus commanded the demons to depart into the pigs. The pigs go down to the sea and die. And the man, he was clothed in his right mind. When the town came out, they found him. You know where they found him? Sitting at the feet of Jesus. And when the city heard about it, when those who, they're not shepherds, they're probably young lads, tending the pigs, run into the city, tell them what happened. The city rushed out. Verse 34, behold, the whole city came out to meet Jesus. And when they saw him, they begged him to depart from their region. They had seen this man, the man that was healed, the man who had the demons. They've seen him clothed in his right mind, cleansed and healed. This man that they previously tried to bind with chains was now clear and sober in his right mind. Jesus had commanded the demons, and the demons obeyed him. But they also lost a lot of pigs, the people of this town. It's probably a lot of a huge economic loss. A lot of Christmas dinners. They lost a lot of pigs. Well, it seems like they would have rather just had the pigs. Let the man be demon possessed. Let the evil be there. They asked the Lord, they begged him to depart. Would you leave? Would you leave us? We don't want your kind here. They love the pigs more than they love the Lord. What about you today? Have you caught a glimpse of the Lord Jesus, of his glory, of his authority, of his beauty? Don't beg him to leave because you'd rather have pigs. Jesus says in John 6, the one who comes to me, I will by no means cast out. We read again in Romans, the scripture says, whoever believes on him will not be put to shame. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your Son. We thank you for the glorious work that he accomplished in his life and his ministry here on this earth. Father, we thank you for his death, his going to the cross, his bearing our guilt and shame, bearing the wrath so that we might be reconciled to you. And Father, we thank you. We have a Redeemer. We have a Rescuer. And we thank you that he continues his ministry even today around the world, that men and women are being cleansed and made clean and reconciled to you, God of heaven. Father, we thank you for the wonderful Redeemer that we have, and we praise you in his name, in Jesus' name. Amen.